Well, good evening, everybody.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan, and I am the host of my own live radio talk show, Ryan Rocks at Asbury Park Style. And first of all, I want to say happy Thanksgiving to everyone. It's been a brutal few weeks for everyone, I'm sure. And I want to start my program off by just telling you a little bit. You know what my show is about. It's about childhood memories. But I'm going to read to you, after Hurricane Sandy landed and with the devastation, what I posted on my page, Ryan Rocks at Asbury Park Style, and on my Nancy Ryan page. And it's a show where people can share their childhood experiences growing up in and out of Asbury Park, New Jersey. And the purpose of my show is to evoke happiness and laughter. So all funny stories are absolutely welcome and necessary. But at this time, since Sandy and the devastation it left behind, I will be focusing on faith, hope, and charity in the next few episodes. Please join me as we recover in the New Jersey style. Jersey will come back even stronger than before. I believe that in my heart and soul. Together, we will make it happen, no matter how long it takes. And I am really thrilled to be with you on Thanksgiving. Usually on Thanksgiving, well, I think I'll just share a little bit, since I'm not having guests, I'm doing solo shows. I did also mention that I'll be going with Hamilton Radio, and you can go on Facebook and just type in Hamilton Radio and find out all about that wonderful radio station and their affiliates. I'll be joining them, and at that time I will be having guests. But my program and what's been going on, when I was young and experiencing Thanksgiving, I come from a huge family, and I'm the oldest girl, and so Thanksgiving and Christmas and all the holidays were very special, and we would all be very excited. And my mother, we were really blessed, was a wonderful cook, and she would, you know, make a wonderful dinner for all of us, and sometimes we would have as many as 26 people at our dinner table. And over the years, of course, my dad passed away, and my mother, while my mother was still alive, we still, one of the daughters or the daughter-in-law would have everyone over, and we would still all get together on these special holidays, like so many families do. And families, I think this is the biggest holiday for people traveling all over the country, even all over the world, to be with their family and friends and be thankful and give thanks for the many blessings that they have. And, you know, I think I've been thinking a lot about how my mother, and talking to other friends about how my mother was the anchor and held everything together. And when my mother passed away, little by little, we stopped getting together. And so last Thanksgiving, I was very fortunate, invited to a friend's house, and I shared it with their family. But before that, I went down to Asbury Park to the fire station, and Giamani's restaurant, which is a very popular, wonderful Italian restaurant in Asbury, they host Thanksgiving and Christmas at the firehouse, this wonderful, wonderful event. And they cook all of this most magnificent, delicious food. And it's not just for the homeless, it's for everyone. It's for single people that don't have partners, or it's for people who want to go and be of service, just to go and to give back. And so I would go there, and I knit scarves, and I crochet, and afghans, and I do all that. I like to keep very busy. And so I've been knitting like crazy now since Sandy, in hopes of giving out lots of scarves this year. I tend to get off the beaten track and go around here and there and everywhere. So when you listen to my show, Until I Get It Down, and this, as far as I know, is only my fifth show, and I guess I'm not much of a note taker. I kind of put it together. I'm a believer in spontaneity. I mean, there's a certain amount of preparation, of course, that you have to do. And I do a little bit of an outline. And I write down, you know, what I want to talk about. And then I roll with the punches, and I just go with it. So I hope you enjoy my style. It's impromptu, and it's just what's coming really from my heart. Before, most of you know I'm a singer, songwriter, guitar player, and before I perform, I always say, oh God, just help me to be entertaining, you know, help me to get up there, because I get like these butterflies and I get all nervous. And then once I hit the stage, I kind of, like I'm doing with the show, I hit the ground running. And I'll tell you what, that's what I have been seeing happen since this devastation. I have seen people hitting the ground running. I mean, once the impact, I mean, I am so proud, and I said this last at my last show, which was on the 8th, if you haven't listened to it, please take a minute and please do. I have seen people really, really come up to the plate. And I was thinking a lot about, before I started this show, about cliches. And cliches really saved my life in a way. When I went through devastating times in my life, as we all do, this is earth, this is life, we're people, we have good things and bad things happen. And I was thinking about this one cliche, and it's this, it's like, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And I'm telling you, that's what people are doing. And I'm going to read some of these cliches, and then you can just think on them yourselves and think about what they mean to you. And a friend of mine, I was talking to her about this whole thing and how she banded together with some friends and they had to evacuate, so they went to a hotel. And then, of course, the hotels lost their electricity too, so they were kind of in the same boat, only at a hotel. So then the next day they just left the hotel and went back to their homes. But she said to me, and then I read it again, and someone else said it, hard times will always reveal true friends. You know, I really believe that that is true. And I'm telling you, if you think about the word friends, I usually conjure up somebody that I've met, someone I've spoken to, somebody that I have some things in common with, and somebody that I want to spend time with. And there's usually few and far between. Most people have lots of acquaintances, and sometimes people know you and you don't know who they are. But friends, when tough times come, it is amazing what people will do. I went to, and I think I talked about this the last show too. I went to, it was like the last evening at a pub, and they were saying, they were giving kudos and congratulations and saying, what a wonderful, you know, wonderful thing it is that the firemen and the lifeguards and the emergency response people and anyone and everyone that could do something just was there and ready and on alert to help their fellow man. And not only that, but to risk their very own lives. And, you know, I just am in such, I have such admiration for people like that. I mean, I do what I can and I offered to help a few people, but when it comes to maybe going out into a storm that's got 70 mile an hour winds with a rope around my waist and going to save people that are drowning, I mean, these people are putting their very lives at risk to save another life. And that, to me, those people are angels. Those people are literally a class of their own. And it's just like our military. They're just in a class of their own, and we owe them so much. We owe them so much. I'm going to get back onto my cliches, and then I'm going to tell you about what I saw after Sandy when I went on my own little exploration. But I wrote down before the show, last week I had written some very inspirational things, but I picked up a book that I have, and it's a dictionary of positive, motivational, life-affirming, and inspirational quotations. And I kind of looked through it, and I went to, like, hard times, and I just kind of thumbed through it like I like to do with a lot of things, magazines and books and newspapers. And I came across this, and this came from this motivational book, and it said, the cure for grief is motion. And if we have not experienced grief, whether you have lost your entire home or just whether you are suffering along with your fellow man and suffering their pain in your own heart, we are all grieving together for the losses that the East Coast has experienced. And another one is, happiness is not a goal. It's a byproduct. And it's a byproduct of action. And that I wrote down who that was by, and that was by Eleanor Roosevelt, or Roosevelt, however you choose to pronounce it. And everyone is into action. People are getting into action and helping mankind. And we need this. I think that that is what we really need. And nature, Mother Nature, is teaching us a very valuable lesson, as hard, and all lessons are difficult. And this lesson, this catastrophe, is going to imprint us for the rest of our lives. And I think it's going to enrich us for the rest of our lives. I heard once that, like, to the depth of your despair will be the height of your joy. And I know for me, when I've been in hard times and sad times and afraid and worried, and not just for myself, of course, but for my brothers or sisters and my parents, and going through losses and deaths, and I would try to remember that. Try to remember that this is a process. This is life. Life is a continual process from day to day. And another one from this book that I thought was great is, our lives are never certain, even for an hour. And that is so true. Our lives are never certain. I mean, you can get up and walk out the door, and, you know, everybody says that. You can go out the door and get hit by a bus, and that's it. So have your ducks in a row. Try to have your house in order. Try to be right with your Creator. I'm not trying to preach again, but I don't know what I would do without a belief in that. I don't know what kind of a person I would be today. I don't know if I could have the hope. I haven't talked to enough people that, I guess, you know, say, well, I don't believe there's anything after this. And I don't want to go there either, so I'm going to just turn around. I'm going to do what a friend of mine says. I usually say, well, I'm going to turn around. And I'm not going to remember what she says, but it's kind of cute. But anyway, I'm going to just move on with my cliches. I'm going to spin around or slip around or whatever. I'm getting back to my cliches. Uncertainty and the future. Nobody can really guarantee the future. The best we can do is size up the chances, calculate the risks involved, estimate our ability to deal with them, and make our plans with confidence. And that was by Henry Ford II. And boy, have we been doing that. Even before the storm, everyone was like running to the store and grabbing everything that they thought that they would need. Well, not everyone. Some people weren't. Some people, oh, well, I mean, I went stopped into a friend's to say, is your phone working? Mine isn't. My cell phone's not even working. And they didn't even have a match, let alone a flashlight. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I couldn't believe that, because I'm just so different. I'm so practical. I'm like, oh, my God, I had everything that I thought I would need to survive. But like this says, our lives are never certain. Never. You could be as prepared as anything. And we thought we were prepared. And, you know, we weren't. And we're not. And with global warming and with what I've been listening to and watching, we may have fewer hurricanes, but the intensity of them is going to be more furious and more devastating than ever. And I didn't even know that, you know, where I live, you know, where we are, we're only 10 feet above sea level. Well, with 40-foot waves and higher, I guess, need I say more, this was just totally devastating. I like this. I've always said this was one of my favorite, and it's so easy to remember. When life gives you lemonades, when life gives you lemonade, it's always nice in the summertime, right? Having a lemonade stand as a child or whatever. But When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. That's what I'm doing. I'm making lemonade, and I'm knitting scarves, and I'm collecting food, and I'm praying a lot, and I'm praying for the people that lost everything. I'm praying that they can pick up. And I was thinking about that too. You know, it's one thing, and I like to be personal and right up front. I'm a shoot from the hip. I'll say it now. I say it on every show, I think. I probably will continue to. When it's voluntary, when you decide, okay, that's it. I'm picking up. I'm taking off. I'm giving everything away, and I've done it. I've done it several times. I guess I'm not all as attached to personal belongings as I think I am because they're so replaceable. You know, when I was in California and started, I promised my mom, I'm coming back, Mom. I promised her I'll come back and take care of you if you need me. And she said she needed me. And I came back. And I had things that I loved. And I had acquired everything I wanted. And I gave every single thing away except what I could fit in my little Mitsubishi Mirage. And my two cats, my two huge 20-pound cats and my bird Buddy. And I got in my car and I took off to the East Coast and I drove back here. And I moved and I have a whole house full of furniture. Of course, I left a lot of antiques back here and I had a mirror when I moved. So it wasn't like I had nothing, no furniture to come back to. But the thing is, these things could go. They could go tomorrow, you know. And if I was left with myself and my health, I would have to be grateful. I would have to be grateful and say, well, let's see. Okay, now what? Now what? What am I going to do? I'm preparing. I believe in being prepared. I'm a camper, camped for years, learn how to, you know how to camp. Go near, you have to be near a stream. You need water, you know. Know how to make a fire. Without matches, know how to survive. And I'll tell you what, it's going to come in handy someday for all of us. If things keep going the way they're going, people are heading for the hills. I don't mean to be, you know, scaring anybody, but I want to be prepared. I don't know how I got off on that tangent, but I want to be prepared. And a lot of people are living in the mountains. And I love nature and appreciate nature. But I live a few blocks away, and I'm familiar with tent cities. I've done a lot of camping, and I've done camping out in California. I went camping with the Sierra Club years ago, and it was in the winter. Oh, that was silly. I thought, oh, my gosh, oh, sure, it's going to be great. I know how to camp. I'm fabulous. I have my, yeah, I'm terrific and fabulous. I know what to do. I have my tent. I have lots of warm clothes. Of course, I didn't even have a below, 32 sleeping bag. I didn't think of that one. That's the only thing I didn't think about. But we were going to have fires all night, and there were lots of people, and I was going to be all right. I froze. I was up half the night. All my clothes on top of me. Then I remembered something. And I said, I know what I need to do. I need to take all my clothes off and get under the blankets that I have. That way, all the heat from my body will go up underneath my blankets, and I'll be warm. And that's what I did here. That's what I did here with no electricity, and it was getting really cold. And I don't know if people – I heard some people saying, oh, my God, I put on sweatshirts, and I put on this and that, and, you know, flannels, and put on flannel sheets, and I was still freezing. And I'm like, well, that's because you have to – And, okay, we're creatures of comfort, or I like creature comforts. I'm used to, like, oh, yeah, my nice warm socks and put my little powder on my feet and put on my nice, you know, clothes that I like to sleep in, like a T-shirt. Oh, now I'm really getting personal. But anyway, you know, oh, no, take off my clothes to be warm? Oh, do I have to do that? That's going to be so uncomfortable. But I did it because what were my options? Freeze to death and stay awake all night, or be warm and be able to get some rest. So that's what I did. I'm going to be learning a lot more in the future about survival Now, the only thing I didn't do with getting back to the Sierra Club, and that was an interesting trip because it was a whole weekend and it was in Joshua Tree in the desert. Now, in the desert, it's like, and there were lots of people that were out there rock climbing because they have lots of trees, lots of rather rocks, tall, big, humongous rocks. And the trees are absolutely gorgeous if you've never seen a Joshua Tree. And there are just so many of them, and it's just a very magical experience. And I love, like I said, I love nature. I like being out in it, and I love being new places and seeing new things. And, oh, they had, geologists there, and they had yoga, and, we all cooked together and ate together, and they had a person that was a spider expert and had all of his spiders that he showed us and talked about. But there we go again about my losing my train of thought. It was a wonderful weekend and a great experience. And I'm going to learn about that, how to survive. Oh, yes, what I didn't do was go on the snow camp. You were supposed to go on a snow camp, and you were supposed to, like, build, like, an igloo, you know, make the squares, put it together and sleep in there. And that's the one thing that I did not do. I'm looking at the time. I can't believe that it's almost a half an hour is up. And I didn't even do what's part of my show is I usually like to like pick cards. And when I have my guests, which I will be having, I'll be having guests that I adore. My first guest is going to be Danny Coleman, Rock On Radio. Danny, if you're out there listening, can't wait. You're going to come to Trenton, to Hamilton Radio, and you're going to be my first guest. And I have a list a mile long. And if you would like to be a guest on my show, just go to my page, Nancy Ryan, or go to Ryan Rocks at Asbury Park Style and send me a private message and say, Nancy, I'd like to be on your show and talk about my childhood memories. And on it, I'm going to be asking, I have these cards, and they're great cards. And I just shuffle them up a little bit and then, you know, have the guests pick one and then share about it. And then I'll have a few people will be able to call in on a chat, call in and tell me like their experiences, and we'll share those on the air. Hopefully you'll be able to even hear their voices. I think that's going to happen. So I'm going to pick a card right now, and there I go with my loving impromptu. Like, here we go with the card. There it is. Oh, what's the funniest thing that ever happened to you? Funny and embarrassing at the same time. Funny and embarrassing. I was at a play. I lived in California, and I was at a play with a friend, and it was intermission time. And, of course, everybody likes to get up and stretch and be really comfortable. And so, of course, I went to the restroom first, and I came out of the restroom, and I'm going over, and I'm going to get a soda, and my friend comes over to me and whispers, and that taps me on the shoulder and says, Nancy, something, I got to tell you something, and it's very embarrassing. And I'm like, well, you know, spill the beans, girlfriend, let's not mince words right now. Well, I had, and I'm sure this has happened to many people, but I actually had a piece of toilet paper that was hanging from the back pocket of my, I had on jeans and a very fancy top and pretty jewelry and high heels. I'm sure you're really concerned about what I was wearing. This is like the Facebook stuff that drives me crazy when people say, I went out to dinner and I had a pork chop. Anyway, and I didn't like it. Anyway, I had a stream of toilet paper hanging from the back of my jeans, practically down to the floor. How it got stuck in there is beyond me. And so I was so embarrassed, and then we both just started laughing hysterically, because what else are you going to do at a time like that? You know, and there have been many, many times that, you know, very funny things have happened to me where I've laughed so hard that, you know, you're crying, those belly laughs to where you just literally cry. But for me, they usually involve conversation and funny stories, and that's why I am so excited and interested in doing live talk radio with other people. Doing solo shows has been really an interesting thing for me. But I can't wait to engage with others and hear their stories. And I'm going to tell you a quick story. I know I don't have that much more time. But it took me a while to go and see the devastation that was done to the place that I grew up. Of course, I was down in Asbury really soon after the storm, like 2 days after the storm. And then just last Thursday, on the 15th, I took a ride and I went north. And I went through all the little towns that I know so well. And I went down to Seabright. And as I'm going down there through Long Branch, through Pier Village, through Oceanport, to Seabright, up toward Rumson and in that area, as I'm going up that way, I'm just like in another place. It was like an out-of-body experience for me. And by that time, they had done so much cleanup. Even talking about it right now for me is so emotional. I got up to the Dunkin' Donuts, and I remember seeing on TV the Dunkin' Donuts where the water was up. Like, I mean, by that time in the storm, and I'm getting all choked up, all you could see really was water. And I didn't go across the bridge. I kept going straight towards Sandy Hook. And I got in a few miles. Not even miles, I'm sorry. I got in like 2.5 blocks towards Sandy Hook. I can't believe how choked up I'm getting right now. And what happened to me happened in my car as I went those few blocks past Seabright, if Seabright wasn't bad enough. And I saw the numbers on the houses to be demolished. And Seabright was a ghost town, except for all of the green tents. I don't know if it was the National Guard or the Army, but God bless those people that were there. And I saw half of houses and apartment buildings that were on their sides and all the things that you've seen on TV. And I saw it live, in person. And I got nauseous. And up into my throat, it got so, my chest and my throat got so tight that it was almost like experiencing a panic attack. And I had to turn around. I had to turn my car around, and I had to drive back home. And I had not been able to shed a tear. It's been such a devastation. I think that most of us are still in shock. I don't think anything really, truly prepares anyone for something like this. I think my being in San Diego for 28 years, it was a long time. I'm back in New Jersey for 6 years, but I grew up here. Asbury Park is my hometown. And thank God we have our boardwalk, and there was little damage done to it because it was engineered to where it's still there. There's a few repairs that are going to be made. But we're going to come back. We are going to come back. And I feel like I could cry right now. But I'm also experiencing joy. And I want everybody to know, and I want my show to evoke happy childhood memories. We are fighters on the East Coast. All people are fighters. It's not just even about the East Coast. There have been devastating things happening all over the world and are happening all over the world this very moment. And we have such a strong will to survive. I'm being told now that it's 50 seconds. And, you know, you can't hear that, but maybe you can. I'm on my speakerphone in my living room. And this is wonderful. I'll miss this when I'm traveling an hour, but I'm going to love it being in the studio and talking to people. I'm going to read one more time what I love about this saying. And my girlfriend Trina sent it to me. And Trina, thank you again, and I've had this for months. Hope, and I read this in the beginning of the show, of all the forces that make for a better world, none is so powerful as hope. With hope, one can think, one can work, one can dream. If you have hope, you have everything. if you have hope, you have everything. And we are restoring the Jersey Shore, and there are benefits everywhere. Please go out. Gather up what you have. Anything extra that you have, give it away. Give it away. Because only in giving it away do you really have fulfillment in this world. It's like, you know, it's like the Beatles song. And I'm going to end it with that. And just give it away. Give it away. Boy, when they say seconds, it seems like forever. When they tell you a minute, oh my gosh, I better hurry up. But I think that it's over now, and I'm still talking because they haven't said it's the end of the show, and they usually don't do that. They just go, oh, 10 seconds. I think my show is over. So with that, I will say good night and God bless. Till next time, this is Nancy Ryan Rocks. Ryan Rocks at Asbury Park Style. Good night and peace out.